thank you for joining. This is Confessions of a Serial Life. So I didn't think I was going to have time to do a recording this week, but thought that I would start my day just a little bit early to try to get through one. Hopefully I'll be able to focus enough to get it completed. Today's topic is going to be gaslighting and narcissism, mainly when it comes from a parent. The reason I chose this topic is because my mom called the other day. So if you've been listening to my podcast episodes, and I highly recommend that you do, because in every one I reference previous ones or previous people, and in order to know what the heck is going on, you kind of have to have that background. So I recommend listening to them all. Mom was, I want to say the epitome of narcissism. She raised us girls, my sister and I, to try to kind of be like her, except for we weren't like her. And I think the more we aged, the more she recognized that. And I don't know, I guess she resented that we weren't like that. So if you look up narcissism, and I assume that everybody knows what narcissism is, but just in case, if you look up narcissism, it's basically vanity. It's like an egotistic admiration, you know, of your idealized self-image and your attributes and of all of that stuff. It's something where you really put yourself above anybody else because you feel you are just so superior in intellect and looks and just every aspect of everything. So if you can imagine, and I think it's normally found in men, I think it's most prevalent in men. But if you can imagine that in a woman with daughters, and I've talked about my mother before, and I've given you little hints and pieces about how she was, but she was the extreme narcissist, where she would cover up how she was to other people. And I think all narcissists do that. But to give you an idea, and again, I've talked about this before, so I've said this exact example before, forgive me. But so we would be, you know, at the store, and she, you know, all you had to do was walk past her wrong or anything that she thought belittled her or devalued her. You know, if you walked past without bowing, I'm being a little facetious, but by God, that's about how it was when I was younger. She's gotten actually better as she's gotten older. It would set her off. It would set her off to where she would threaten the animals. I told you the story about holding the one dog over her head like she was going to slam it on the floor. You know, when I used her first name instead of mom, she took my cat and was going to dump my cat and like put it in the car and cracked the window and yelled at me through the car. She was like going to drive away with my cat. You know, I mean, she went the extreme. It was all about control. That's what it was about. So as we've gotten older, you know, and okay, so I'm kind of going off on a tangent because I have all these thoughts going off in my head. But the point is that she was extremely narcissistic and nobody could keep up with her ego, basically. She would freak out at the very sight or thought of anybody not keeping up with her ego or causing any dismay in her psyche whatsoever. And if somebody walked into the store and caught her freaking out, then instantly she went into like this, I don't know, this freaky, innocent, you know, dumb girl routine where it was, and my dad used to mimic it perfectly. And I witnessed it so often that I started hating that. So if you come over to my house and I'm mad, by God, you're going to know I'm mad because I watched that fakeness through my whole life and I just can't even fake not being mad when I'm mad or not being, you know, authentic. And it's just, it's because I witnessed that my whole life and it just is sickening to me. I can't stand people like that. So I grew up with that. I grew up with knowing how awesome my sister was. Of course, my sister, 10 years older, you know, she was turning into a beautiful teenager when I was like a gangly little kid. And Dad always said that the reason I was born was because Mom and my sister didn't get along. And she wanted somebody that would get along with her. And so that's why I was born. But of course, she didn't change any. So me growing up, I had the same tendencies that my sister had, and neither one of us really related to her very well. And that's because we couldn't keep up with her ego. All right, so that's kind of what we grew up with. So the gaslighting comes in, and if you don't know what gaslighting is like extreme psychological manipulation. And I think it actually states that anywhere you look. It's basically convincing somebody, it's convincing somebody that they're wrong or remembering incorrectly or crazy. It's kind of planting the seeds of doubt in their minds. And it can be very minimal. You can, you know, say, are you remembering that correctly? You know, even though really you know they are. Or it can be serious, where you flat out deny what they're saying and say, you know, you're crazy. That never happened, when you know that it did happen. So Mom is also a great person for that. And a lot of narcissistic and gaslighting articles will reference this lying to maintain the lie, to maintain the premise of their ego and what they want you to believe. And that was the same with Mom. So Mom would I'm trying to think of a precise example. If you were angry or dismayed at something that specifically happened from childhood, you know, and I get that childhood memories are different, but, you know, teenage memories aren't really, you know, you're more apt to remember accurately as a teenager as opposed to a kid. Young adult memories are even more But memories are memories, and I get that they can be, you know, skewed or tainted or off a little bit just because everybody has their own picture of what happened. Everybody remembers differently. But my point is that when confronted with that, Mom would start by saying first that she doesn't remember. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And then she would say, oh, hon, you know, you're just misremembering. And I think maybe a lot of parents do that to some extent just because, you know, all parents do some bad things, do some things that they're not proud of. And, you know, you don't want your kids to really remember that stuff over top of, you know, the good things. But this was different. This was everything. I've referenced being the black sheep before, and I think that's because of how my mom felt about my sister. I think when I turned out, I'm air quoting, bad, you know, I didn't mesh with her totally. I think that she fell back on trying to win back my sister so that she at least had one good kid. And, you know, it's the beautiful kid. It's the teenager, the young adult that's, you know, doing so well as opposed to the gangly kid that's still in your house. So instances since I've gotten older, and mainly since my dad has passed, is what I'm going to share here. I told you when my dad was on hospice, I was over there like every day. And my kids will attest to this because they do not remember it fondly, unfortunately, because it was traumatic for them. They were losing their grandpa. They, you know, loved him horribly. And so it's not fond memories they have. So, you know, it was a tough situation. But if you talk to my mom now, you know, it was my sister that came to visit, even though she never came once to visit, and that was part of our big fight. She never came once to visit. Granted, she was in another state, but for Mom to actually say that she came to visit and help out, and then she literally told me, "And you came a couple of times too." That's really what she said. Not this last phone call, but that's what she said. "And you came a couple of times too." It was months and months. And there was even months when, if you recall by my stories, Mom was stuck up in that mountain town because it was winter and Dad was having surgery. And I was still at the hospital every day with my kids. But according to her, I came a couple of times too. So on that note, I'm going to just pause really quick and throw in one of those ads that they like to throw into these things. So hold that thought. I'll be right back. All right. Thanks for sticking with me. So when you couple that with the feelings of being the black sheep and feeling like I've constantly been her babysitter and really Dad's babysitter and, you know, shooing people off of their property that mooched their way on to stay there, you know, and just all of this stuff. It's extremely hurtful. And then to have her tell people, you know, that I just don't remember correctly, or I was there sometimes, or, you know, it's just like a slap in the face. And I know I'm supposed to be the bigger person, and I know that I'm supposed to, I don't know, forgive and forget. I know that she's very old, and I know that, you know, her memory is failing now. But it's just so many years of this same behavior. It's so many years of her telling me that I don't remember. Like when I was a kid and called the cops, you know, I finally called the cops to the house because she was acting so irate, and she did take pills all the time. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe she was having a reaction or ODing or whatever. And then the cops came to see if I was okay, and she met them at the door with me standing behind her and, you know, just brushed it off like I was just some stupid kid, like I didn't know what I was talking about, you know. And then for them to just listen and leave. I'm sure I was standing there wide-eyed, you know, waiting for help, and then they just left. You know, and the time I saw her slap that guy on the butt in our kitchen, and then her telling me that I didn't see that. It's just everything. It's just so many years of that. It's just so built up and ingrained in my brain that I can't even function because of it. And, you know, just to have everything dismayed and basically told that I'm crazy. She's never said that I'm crazy. Well, actually, she has said that, but not recently. It's hurtful. It's just so destroying. One of the other things I struggle with is that Dad, on his deathbed, literally said that he didn't want me to disown Mom, that she would still need help when he was gone. And I struggle with that horribly because, I mean, he put up with this stuff to the fullest extent. He put up with her to the fullest extent. And for him to, at the very end, say, you know, basically ignore the bad stuff, you know, it's just, it's overwhelming for me at times. But how do you do that? So, you know, I on one of my recordings a few years, well, not recording a few years back, but my recording of what happened a few years back, where she had come for Christmas, and then right after Christmas, after she took her presents and everything, she called me and told me that she had been robbed, and basically insinuated that I had robbed her house. That took the cake. That was the extent of what I could handle, period. That's when I cut her off. I mean, she was kind of cut off before that because we didn't really go to her house and she didn't come over for more than holidays. The only time I went over to her house at that point was to pick her up because, you know, she would get lost coming over here. But I couldn't get past that. So this whole recording started with me telling you that she called me the other day. And she did. She called me, and like she always starts the calls, she loves me and, you know, she misses me and she hopes we're okay, and that's great. You know, she's my mother. I'm supposed to love her. I probably do love her, but I'm just, you know, too tainted to say it anymore. I don't know. I have hard feelings towards the whole thing. But she went into how sick my sister was. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know about all of that too. She said that she's sick. Now, the last I heard, granted, we don't talk anymore, but the last I heard that she had a boyfriend that she was traveling with still. And there was, you know, pictures all over social media of it. And Mom was saying that she's so sick and she can't afford anything now, and so she probably won't ever have another chance to come out here. And, you know, Mom's dying wish is that her and I make up and are friends before she's gone. And I sit there and I think, you know, long ago, Mom could have nipped this in the bud, but she was so busy playing the big dog, you know, like pitting us against each other, you know, saying, like she did in this phone call, saying that my sister is on drugs and, you know, medical prescription. But that it's tainting how she's thinking, and she's not thinking right, and she's so sick she doesn't think right. And it's that whole making you think something that's not true to try to get her way. And I'm sure she does this exact same thing to my sister. Well, actually, I take that back. I'm sure she does that to a certain extent. I don't think that she sits there and tells my sister that she needs to apologize to me and make amends with me. I think that's solely on my shoulders. Several years ago, while we were still talking, you know, I had to take Mom around town and help her with bank accounts that she was doing. And I think it was right after Dad passed. And she was taking these savings accounts and splitting them up so that they were, I don't know, some kind of pay on death account. And my sister was on one, and I was on one. And my sister's had twice the amount of money that mine had. And, you know, when you're just looking at that, I mean, I'm the one there helping, and you just look at that and you think, what the fuck? And, I mean, that sounds so petty, but when you have lived with this your whole life. Like, I'm a second-rate citizen, and I'm the one that does all the homework. I'm the one that does all the babysitting, and I just feel so used and unappreciated and outcast is what I feel like. It's absolutely horrible to feel like this when it comes to your family. So, you know, all of this stuff runs through my mind during these phone calls. And then she's telling me about how sick my sister is. And I honestly don't know if she's that sick. You know, I've told you my theories before that I'm sure I'm going to hell for. But, you know, it just seems so coincidental. And now that Mom is, I mean, she can't last forever. She's, you know, getting up there. And I'm sure my sister's going to outlive her. And so now she's looking at really what she's going to get from my mom. And so now she's suddenly sick again, and Mom doesn't have social media. She doesn't know. And so I just sit here and I think, my God, this whole thing, you know, it's like the craziest soap opera you could ever imagine. It's just so stupid. And then I have to listen to how, you know, it's up to me. Like, I need to apologize for what I did for the internet stuff, she says. Well, what internet stuff did I freaking do? I asked her for a picture for my dad's book when he was literally on his deathbed. You know, I just think this is just crazy. What a crazy existence this is, and how horrible it was that Dad passed and that this is the result. It's just heartbreaking to me. And then I think, you know, I should be the bigger person. I'm always the bigger person. Why can't I be the bigger person now? So I should call my sister. I should, you know, go out to dinner with Mom. I should try again. And I can't stomach it at this age. Like, I feel old and tired. Like, I just can't stomach it. So the conversation on the call rolled around to her being robbed again. And I'm sure I brought that up. I'm sure I'm the one that said, you know, oh, I know it. Actually, she said that she sure wanted to come over. She wanted to spend the holidays with me. And I told her, I said, you know, We used to do that, and I just can't stomach that anymore. I don't want to be accused of robbing you if, you know, I go pick you up. And then, of course, she goes into the whole gaslighting thing, that I'm not remembering that correctly, and that's not what happened, and she never told the officer that. And, you know, so in other words, I'm just this crazy, paranoid offspring. And it's just sad. It's just really sad. And I suppose that my whole point of this whole episode is to talk about gaslighting and narcissism and being raised in that and the impacts from that. I mean, they're just lifelong impacts that impact your whole entire family. And, you know, I hope that if somebody's listening to this, I don't even know if you can be cured from narcissism or gaslighting. I don't know if you can change your mindset suddenly. I kind of think you can't. But my point is that if you can, if you know that you do this, my God, don't do it anymore. And if you're around somebody like that, then good Lord, get away. Because your whole life, I mean, you will just question your goodness forever, because that's just what I do. And if it's a parent, then, you know, I feel guilty and I pick up her phone calls now, but it would just be worse if I was around her more. And so I don't ever advocate for cutting off your parents, because I think that's just a horrible way to be, speaking from experience. But good Lord, there comes a time when you just have to accept that it won't change and how it is, and you just have to kind of protect yourself at that point. And I don't know, and I guess that's my point. You know, be happy and just do the best that you can, and don't feel guilty for trying to survive. So, for whatever that is worth, that's today's episode. Again, I didn't think that I would get one done today, and because of that phone call, I figured that I had to speak on it. So, as always, thank you for listening. You know, I hope you continue to chime in, and I hope that these words find you well. Anyway, take care. Bye-bye.